Amen. As we move on, I'm going to be speaking from a passage that's generally referred to as the Last Supper. And we're continuing our series on meals with Jesus. And so examples of when Jesus was eating with people in the Bible. And the Last Supper in some ways is perhaps what part of the pinnacle of that. Obviously there was breakfast on the beach that comes after the resurrection. But the Last Supper is obviously a really important one because it's the evening before or as he's about to be arrested and then obviously going into the whole sort of process of moving into Good Friday and his death and resurrection. And so it is a critical meal to look at as well. We find it in Luke 22, verses 7 to 38. And when I come to be starting to preparing for preach for something, I'm always interested to sort of investigate other people's sermons and things like this. And I also look back over some of my old notes and that, and just to see sort of what similar passages. And I discovered actually that I preached on this one on, I think it was the 15th of March last year. So I thought, oh, that's nice and easy. I'll just use last year's notes. No, didn't think that. But I'm coming from quite a different tack to last year, because last year when it was very much we were going through a series on Easter, and so obviously it forms part of that. But this time as I come to look at it, I'm coming from a slightly different angle, because the focus is much more the fact that how Jesus was relating to his followers and the people with him. So I'm going to read this. You must excuse me if I turn around and read this, because it's a slightly different version to the one that I generally use on my phone. But it's easier for everyone to see this way and follow, hopefully. But particularly because it is a slightly longer passage than perhaps we sometimes tackle in one go. But then came the day of the unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus said to Peter and John, "Go and make preparation for us to eat the Passover." Where do you want us to prepare it?" they asked. He replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large upper room, all furnished. Make preparations there.' They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, 'I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God.' After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, 'Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. And the Son of Man will go as it has been decreed. But woe to that man who betrays him.' They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. Also, a dispute arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. Jesus said to them, 'The kings of Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not like that. You are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For he who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves, is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, but I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me. so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know me. Then Jesus asked them, When I sent you without purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything? Nothing, they answered. He said to them, but now if you have a purse, take it, and also a bag. And if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. It is written, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and I tell you that this must be fulfilled in me. Yes, what is written about me is reaching its fulfillment. The disciples said, see, Lord, here are two swords. That is enough, he replied. Sorry, that's quite a long passage, but it's important, I think, that we sort of read it to get into context, and also because we're looking at the meal, then it's important to see what all that Jesus said to his disciples at this stage. Now, obviously, I can't go into a sort of full exegetical preach of all of the details of this and explaining it all, but I really want to focus on a couple of things, because this is the evening, as I mentioned, before Jesus was to be arrested, tried, and crucified. So he wants to spend that evening, and you saw it said there, he earnestly desired to spend this evening with his 12 disciples, so his closest friends and those who had been with him. Specifically, he'd chosen to follow him over these last 3 years particularly. And so they're going to share this meal together. Now, when we come as preachers to preach, we're obviously looking to achieve certain things. And there's this wonderful term, isn't there, outcomes, which particularly those who are in education probably start twitching when I mention the word outcomes, because it's one of those very overused phrases. And I believe in some lesson plans, at start a lesson, they have to say what their outcomes are, their hopeful outcomes are for that lesson. And when we preach, it's important. It's important that as I stand here, that I have a target, I have an aim, I have a hoped outcome from what I'm speaking about. Now, I find myself naturally drawn towards preaching, perhaps more focused on deepening our knowledge, so that informs our worship, and so that we are able to worship Jesus with a greater passion and a greater love and a greater enthusiasm. I think that is what I'm particularly drawn towards. This morning's slightly different, because there's that sort of tack of preaching where you're really seeking to instruct and to teach and to help us grow in our knowledge, in order that we should grow and deepen in our worship. I'm not interested in the knowledge for the knowledge's sake. It's so that we deepen in our worship, and so that we can worship Jesus and glorify him with a greater depth and a greater understanding. However, what I want to do this morning, my outcome for this morning really, is rather just encourage us and stir us and hopefully help us to see the importance of the idea of eating together and being together. Because I think one of the things that we see in Jesus is he didn't come to establish meetings, did he? And I think so often in church history, the church has become very focused on meetings. I'm talking very broadly and generally here, but we can fall into that same trap where church becomes very focused on whether it be Sunday morning or a Thursday or Friday evening, but it has this tendency to drift towards meetings. But I think when we see the life of Jesus, and I think one of the things that I love about looking at the fact that he ate with people is it's not about meetings, is it? It's about life. It's about the normal stuff that we do. And that's where I think eating together really focuses that, because it's a normal thing that we do, but we can do it and share it together. And so this is what I want to encourage and stir us about this morning. And so I've got sort of particularly two things I just want to talk through. And first of all, it's what I was just saying there really, is that eating is about doing the normal stuff that we do, but doing it together. And so the Jews, they had some celebrations, particularly the Passover was one of these key celebrations. It's a really important meal in their life as Jews together. And Jesus honored that, and Jesus wanted to very much be part of that as well and take part in that, because he saw, first and foremost, the importance of the Passover, because as we read in that passage, he himself was going to become the fulfillment of the true Passover and the eternal Passover. And so he wanted to share this meal together. And yet what we see here, when I was thinking about this, I thought it's quite interesting the fact that he chose the evening before his earthly ministry was about to come to a close, he chose to just spend it with his 12 closest followers. He didn't go and tell them to go and book the biggest hall that they could find, or go into an open space or something like that and organize a mass gathering of as many people as possible. No, he chose at this point to focus on just those closest friends of his, and because he wanted to just pass on some stuff. He wanted to actually be amongst them, be with them, and be really personal with them. And that was really important to him. And that, I think that's all part of what he's in, through his example, he's encouraging us to do as well, is to take concentrated time, be people who are giving time, giving precious time to one another. And so this is one of the things that we see here, is that it was a normal thing for him to do, to celebrate the Passover meal, but he decided to focus on doing it in such a way to really sort of make it a personal experience for him at this critical time, because he felt the importance of imparting these last few things to his closest followers. So we learn how precious spending time in that way was. And it's about connection, I think, is what this is, is one of the key elements of this. It's about connecting together. And I think when we do this normal stuff, when we're eating together, there's much more of a connection between us, isn't it? Because we just talk about normal stuff. We talk about our lives together, and we spend time together. And but we actually learn more about each other, and we appreciate one another more. And I had an interesting experience of this. This is going back many, many, many years. Just trying to work out, 1983-ish, something like this. So I'm going a long way back in history here. But I was in Guernsey at the time, and we had there was a church in Jersey that we related to, and so we had a joint thing called the Channel Island Bible Weekend that had been hoped to sort of grow into something bigger, but never really quite took off. It was okay, but one of the guys that came to speak to that was a guy called Tony Morton, who that may mean something to Jane, may mean something to a few people, but he headed up an organization that at the time was a bit similar to New Frontiers. I think it was Cornerstone, was it something? I can't remember exactly what it was. But he particularly was working in amongst the church in Jersey, so he was going to be speaking at this Channel Island Bible Weekend. The evening before it was due to start, we were looking for some food. And the leader of the church was looking after a couple of us young people. I was a young person at that point, 1983, very, very young person, of course. But we were going out. We were looking for some food. And we ended up in Pizza Express, which they had in Jersey at the time. And in Pizza Express was this guy, Tony Morton, and another guy called Martin Dunsford, that led the church in Hedge End in Ben's old neck of the woods. And but there was the two of them who were going to be speaking at this conference, sort of big conference speakers, sort of heading up of these Christian organizations. And we ended up sitting at the table with them, chatting and sort of finding out about them and joking about with them. We'd never met them before, but when we came to listen to them the next day, speaking sort of up at the front of this conference, I found that particularly myself, I was listening and I was relating so much more to what they were saying, because the evening before we'd been having a joke and a laugh over a pizza. And it really sort of, that really impressed on me the importance of sort of just connection with people, particularly when we're going to be sort of speaking and communicating in that way and learning from people, that the real privilege that we had just to get to know some. So you begin to understand their heart and you begin to understand who they are, so that as they speak, you sense the genuineness and the truth of it. And so also, as we eat meals together and we create memories as well. And one of the embarrassing stories we have in our family, Julia, I can see, knows what's coming here, is the guy that used to be the leader of Julia's church back in the south of England was a guy called Arnold Bell. And he came over to Guernsey one time we were there to speak. I think we were doing some sort of training in scripture, because he was a most brilliant Bible teacher, and he was a very close friend of Terry Virgo. And so because Julia had been in their church, Arnold and Mary came and they had Sunday lunch with us, and the children were all quite small. I don't think Jacob was even born at the time, but they came and had Sunday lunch with us, and we had sort of roast dinner first of all, so we had the gravy boat on the table, and then the second course we had sticky toffee pudding. And when it came to sort of dishing out the sticky toffee pudding, sort of, we had the sort of spongy bit, and then I picked up what I thought was the sticky toffee stuff and started pouring it onto the thing, but actually then discovered it was gravy. So, which my children just thought was so hilariously funny, that here we were, we had these people who are leaders of churches come over to teach this thing, and we are having lunch, and there I was pouring gravy onto the thing instead of sticky toffee. And so, but when you have meals with people, when you get and just do normal stuff with people, you build memories, don't you? And so Jacob retells this story sometimes. It's quite odd actually how frequently this story gets recounted, and he wasn't even born at the time, and yet he's got this memory from our family. And but when you're eating together, when you're doing normal stuff together, you create memories, don't you? And you bind. And obviously their memory of Arnold and Mary isn't this couple that happened to be at the church and were talking and possibly didn't even relate to them in any way. Their memory of Arnold and Mary was they were the people sitting at the table who when I was pouring the gravy on the sticky toffee pudding. And so it creates memories and it builds and it connects us, and it grounds us as normal, doesn't it? And so we're doing normal stuff together. The other thing is that the meals is actually a time to learn together, and an environment for learning together. And certainly Jesus took this opportunity of the Passover, and he was teaching his followers how to remember him. And this is another thing about eating meals together, actually, because we follow that example as well. So that as we eat meals together, I believe that Jesus will be saying to us, remember me and be grateful for what you have. And obviously that's part of the reason why people say grace at meals. And we at various times have gone through sometimes sort of breaking bread together. Haven't done it that much, but sometimes we think about it. And when we've had meals with people, we've broken bread together, because actually I believe in many ways that's the context that Jesus was bringing that whole idea of breaking bread together. He's not essentially doing it in a meeting, is he? He's bringing it to when he was together having a meal together with his friends, and he's saying, do this in remembrance of me. And so I think it's something that we should sort of stir ourselves and remind ourselves to do much more regularly, much more in a sort of that sort of context, having meals together and we break bread together. And I'm not at all sort of taking away from doing it on a Sunday morning together, because I think that's important as well. But I think Jesus brought it into a different context, and so I think we should go for that as well. But But having meals together is a great opportunity to be learning together as well. And so so that's a context into which Jesus brings a whole breaking of bread. And so Jesus taught many things over meals, doesn't he? We've seen that over these last few weeks. And even there's some really important lessons, isn't there, that have come through, not when Jesus has been up standing in front of people, but just as he's been there eating with people. He teaches them some of the really important stuff in the Gospels. Jesus teaches just as he's having a meal with people. And this meal is no different to that as well. And so at this point, Jesus is teaching. He takes this opportunity of the Passover meal to teach them what is about to happen with him and about actually how he specifically is going to become the new Passover lamb. So in the Passover, it's where as they were leaving Egypt, there'd been the 10 plagues, and then the last plague was the death of the firstborn. So in Egypt, every child the firstborn of every child there'd be a death of them, and there would be this sort of thing that would come. But by killing a lamb and putting the blood of the lamb on the doorposts, it would show that they were trusting in that blood, that the angel of death, as they came to bring the death of the firstborn, would pass over that particular house. And so that's why it's called the Passover. And so Jesus was saying that actually, going forwards, I am the Passover lamb, that through my death, those who trust in me, they would no longer know that sense of eternal death, but they would know eternal life, and they would have life through me. And so Jesus was teaching that in the context of them having this meal together. So in the middle of this, there then breaks out this argument about who's the greatest. And it just seems so out of context, doesn't it? That here's Jesus teaching this really important stuff, and the disciples who've been with him for 3 years start arguing about who's the greatest. And when I thought about this, I thought, this is just such a typical mealtime with the family, in a sense, isn't it? Because normal stuff is happening here. Arguments quite often or sometimes break out at meal times, don't they? But that's not a bad thing. That's not a thing to be, in some ways, it's not a thing to be sort of squash and say, well, we're not going to eat together because people are always arguing. No, the idea is that it's an opportunity, isn't it? It's an opportunity for learning. And Jesus grabs hold of this opportunity. He doesn't squash that. He rather uses it as an opportunity for teaching and learning. And so we should be the same as well with amongst our families, amongst ourselves, that as we're chatting through stuff, it's an opportunity. And at this point, I would say this is one of the really important things about meals together, is that we learn together, we connect together, but also I think I would encourage, particularly families, I would say make sure you're eating together as families. And obviously I don't want to be prescriptive about this because everybody's situation is different and it's not my place to do that. But can I encourage you strongly, families, as your children are growing up, to be eating together? I think there is some in many circles there's a thing of, we feed the children earlier and then we eat later. And I've no idea of anybody's situation here, so don't feel like I'm talking at you. If you feel I'm talking at you, then so be it, but I know nothing of anyone's situations here. But I would strongly urge you to have your meals together, because it's an opportunity to be together, to be normal together, and just do stuff together, and to connect together, and to learn together. And I would also say, if you're having people round, if you're having other people in the church round or whoever, try and do it at times when you can involve your children. And I think our children really benefited and really helped them to connect into the church as they were growing up, because we would often have people around for things like Sunday lunch. And so the children were there. They were fully involved as well. And so they got to know people. We were in a privileged position for a while where we were quite often sort of having leaders from other churches come around, and we would often have them for Sunday lunch. And so our children were getting to know these people, and the people that they were seeing speaking at, and sort of speaking at events, they would have had a meal with them. And it just, like I was saying earlier, it's that connection that helps them to realize, actually, these are normal people. These aren't sort of superheroes. These aren't sort of people like different from everybody else. They're just normal. They eat and they drink and they have a laugh. And so these are really important things. So when you're having folks round, try and do it at times where the children can join in as well. And that really helps that connection with people in the church. And I hope you'll forgive me for being a bit different to the way I normally speak this morning, but really my intention was just to remind us and to provoke us again to be just being together, just having meals together, just as Jesus did, to use the opportunity of eating together, doing normal stuff together. And it doesn't, one of the important things with this, it doesn't have to be a meal where we invite people around to our home. It can just be a coffee or whatever, going out somewhere to a cafe or even just meeting in the park. We had a really nice time a few months ago. We'd planted some trees at the Comrie Croft, actually. And so we went to check on them. Julia's sister happened to be there at the time as well. So we went to visit her, we checked on the trees, and we went and knocked on Malise and Andrew's door and said, oh, hi, just saying hello because we're here, sort of thing. And we ended up in their lounge there, chatting with Malise and Harris. There was Harris, 14-year-old, or 13, 14-year-old, and we were just chatting together, and it was really nice just to spend that time together, and it was all on the hoof. It wasn't any sort of, it was by chance, but we just took that opportunity, and it was really good just to touch base and just enjoy being together. And that's a really important thing, is it doesn't have to be organized, it doesn't have to be difficult, you just do what works for you. And okay, I'm going to close there. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you would help us in, Lord, just doing normal stuff, but together, Lord Jesus, and taking opportunities as they arise. And Father, I pray that you would help us to continue to be a people who are not about just a meeting or meetings, but rather we are church together, we are family together. And Lord, I pray that you would bless us in that and help us in that, and that we would grow and learn together and just stir one another to worship you and to glorify your name in all that we do. Amen.